Good day, friends. Again, we come to you, and we are now in starting the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis. I suppose some of you think, well, we're a long time getting there, yes, but we've been following a very, very interesting portion of Scripture, following through on the life of this man, Abraham. And you remember from chapter 12 right on down through chapter 24, Abraham has been the center of the study. We see where Abraham, who was the father of those who believe, received faith to put his trust in the living God. And you know, faith is the amening to God. You just say amen to God. Faith is the human response to a divine revelation. See, the important thing is the object of faith. And all the way through these chapters, you have seen the faithfulness of God to Abraham. Even when he failed, his failure did not affect the faithfulness of God. It didn't affect the heart of God. It didn't affect the love of God for Abraham. Even when he'd been 13 years playing with Ishmael, the fruit of the flesh, in chapter 16, nevertheless, when Abram's 99 years of age, God comes on the scene and reveals himself. The amazing thing to me was that after 13 years of silence, 13 years out of fellowship with God, God doesn't reprove him. He just said, unless the rebuke would be, walk before me and be perfect. It could be a rebuke. But he doesn't remind him of his sins or his failures. And I find two things. The heart of God is yearning for the fellowship of his people. Nothing delights the heart of God more than to have those who belong to him, those who put their trust in his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God yearns for your fellowship. And the second thing I want to mark is time spent out of the will of God is wasted time. Wasted time. Oh, how much we waste God's time. And now at 40 years of age, Isaac must have is married to Rebekah. We find this in chapter 24. The yearning of Abraham's heart when he's 140, that his son should have the right kind of a wife, that she should not marry a Canaanite. And she must marry those from where he came, where Abraham came from, Ur of the Chaldees, who were idolaters. You remember, here's a man walking with God in the midst of all kinds of idolatry and corruption. He walks with God. Believe me, there's no excuse for you or for me not walking with God. And again, may I repeat, God doesn't give us faith to change the world, to transform the world. He gives us faith to walk with him in the midst of a world, whatever that circumstance may be. And Abraham's a good picture of that. No wonder he's called the father of those who believe. Now we come to chapter 25. And in the first 11 verses, we have the death of Abraham and his burial. But first of all, you notice in the first 4 verses, After Isaac now was married, 40 years of age, and he's got a wife, Rebekah, I read, and then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him 6 sons. I'm not going to read their names. Only all these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Unto the sons of the concubines which Abram had, Abram gave gifts, sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived, eastward into the east country. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175 years. Then Abram gave up the spirit and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zophar the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass, after the death of Abraham, that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lehi Roi. Let me just stop here for a moment. You notice that Abraham altogether had 8 sons. I know most believers, most people say, well, Abraham had 2 sons, Ishmael and Isaac. No, he had 8 sons, at least 8 sons. He had Ishmael through Hagar, the handwoman. He had Isaac through Sarah. He was the promised seed. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. And then he had 6 sons through Keturah. So when God quickened Abram's body at 100 years of age, 99 years of age, he really quickened his body. For he not only had Isaac, and when he's 140, at least 140, he married again and had 6 more sons. And he didn't spend time here except to save the fact that, again, when God does a job, he does a real job. And Isaac becomes the heir, and you have his burial. Verses 7 to 11. By the way, he lived 35 years after the marriage of Isaac. That means that he lived 15 years with Jacob and Esau. Do you ever think of it? That Jacob and Esau knew Abraham. They were 15 years of age when Abraham died. See. Now, very little has been said about Isaac until after the death of Abraham. And by the way, may I suggest something here? Allow me a little digression. You know, Abraham's still alive. In Matthew chapter 22:32, you remember when the Sadducees came to Jesus, the Sadducees did not believe in the supernatural. They didn't believe in resurrection. And they questioned our Savior about this. And you remember how the Lord said, God is not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. He's the God of Abraham, he's the God of Isaac, he's the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, of the living. True, their bodies have gone back to dust, but they, the person, are still living. To me, it's a wonderful thing that when a sinner accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they have become the recipients of eternal life. And my friend, when Jesus said that, he means eternal life, everlasting life. The believer never dies. Why, you say, Mr. Mitchell, don't you bury Christians? Yes, I bury their bodies. The believer, no. The believer says, good night, earth, good morning, glory. To me, the wonderful thing, as Paul could say in Corinthians 5, we know if this earthly house of our tabernacle, if this body be dissolved, goes back to dust, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And as Paul could say in Philippians, absent from the body, present with the Lord, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He's not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. Abraham lived 175 years on earth, and yet, 2,000, approximately 2,000 years afterwards, Jesus said that he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. I just suggest that as I pass along. Now, in verses 12 to 18, you have the generations of Ishmael. I'm not going to go into this. Ishmael had a number of wives. His first wife was an Egyptian, and he had 2 wives who were the daughters of the Hittites, the people living in the land of Canaan. The last 2 he married to try and satisfy his father. Now we come down to chapter 25. And we have the generations of Isaac. This is chapter 25, verses 19 to chapter 27. Shall I say to the end of chapter 26? The generations of Isaac. You start down in the verse, from verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abram's son. Abram begat Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to his wife. the daughter of Bethuel, a Syrian of Padan-Aram, the sister to Laban, a Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah conceived, and the children struggled together within her. She said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to ask of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people. The elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all over like a hairy garment. They called his name Esau. And after that came his brother, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years of age when they were born. And the boys grew. Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, an outdoor man. Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Jacob was mama's boy. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage. I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die. I'm about to die. What's the profit of having a birthright? What profit will that do to me if I'm dying?" Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and a pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink, rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, I'd like to just say a word here concerning the birth of Jacob and Esau. Abram's 160 years of age when these boys are born. First of all, may I suggest that their birth was supernatural. It came in answer to prayer. They'd been married 20 years, no children. And in verse 21, Isaac entreated the Lord. He besought the Lord for his wife, for Rebekah, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah conceived. It's an answer to prayer. Supernatural birth. Mark something else, the second thing about it. These boys, when Rebekah began to be troubled about this, the trouble she was having, she asked of the Lord what the score was. And the answer was, there are two nations born and you're going to have twins. One's going to be stronger than the other, and the elder's going to serve the younger. These two boys who are going to be born are two nations, two peoples. One's going to be stronger than the other, and the elder's going to serve the younger. I want you to mark this. There are two manner of peoples in your womb, Rebekah, and the principle, the elder shall serve the younger. This is a principle that runs right through your Bible. The elder shall serve the younger. Now, I'd like to suggest this. In the book of Romans, chapter 9, verses 12 to 13, we read there that it is written, "Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated." That was not said before they were born. What was said before they were born was, "The elder shall serve the younger." About 1,500 years or more after this, approximately 1,500 years afterwards, it was written, "The elder, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." This was not said. I'm repeating this. It was not set before they were born. I have had those who talk about the sovereignty of God, and I believe in the sovereignty of God, that he hated Esau before he was born and loved Jacob. That's not so. What was said before they were born was the elder shall serve the younger. One's going to be strong and one's going to be weak. And then centuries after, when the Edomites were in opposition to the living God, these Edomites were in opposition to the people of God. God said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hid. I just want to mention that. Now in 27, 28, you have the characteristics. Esau was an outdoor man. He loved to take his bows and arrows and goes out and get venison. And you know that Jacob loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. He enjoyed have some deer meat or whatever it was. And Rebekah loved Jacob. Now notice, Jacob worked in the fields. Esau came in from hunting and he was hungry. And when he smelled that meal that Jacob was cooking, he said, give me some of that. He said, nothing doing. I'm about to die. I'm faint. He said, well, sell me your birthright. Well, I'm on point to death. I'm ready to die. And what's the use of that to me? Give me something to eat before I die. Now, he wasn't going to die. He was just plain hungry. But Esau despised the birthright. What does that mean? Let me just suggest briefly. The birthright meant the greater part of the inheritance. The birthright meant the blessing and the supremacy. The birthright meant the family priesthood. You never read of Ishmael or of Esau building an altar. You see, Esau, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 to 17, Esau despised the grace of God. He was a secular person. When it says a profane person, that doesn't mean cursing and bitterness. He was secular. He had no place in his heart for God. He lived outside the things of God. He was a secular man. And Esau bartered divine privilege for fleshly gratification. Now, Jacob didn't need to barter for that. Let's get this clear in our minds. God had promised that the elder would serve the younger. God had promised that the one would be stronger than the other. There's no question that the promise, the birthright, was going to come to Jacob even before they were born. This was told Rebekah. And Jacob didn't have to barter for it. It was his by promise. You see, the difference in the two was in their hearts. Jacob yearned for the things of God. Now, when I see some of the things that Jacob did, I don't hold any brief for Jacob. When I see these two boys, if I had been there, do you know which one I would have loved? And now speaking from the human viewpoint, I would have loved Esau. Esau was an outdoor man. Esau liked to hunt and fish and a real man. What about Jacob? I hung around the tents. He was mama's boy. He was mama's boy, under mama's thumb. But he had a heart for God. He yearned for spiritual things, whereas Esau despised the things of God. Shall I put it this way? He bartered the things of God for fleshly gratification. He bartered divine privilege for fleshly gratification. How many today are despising the birthright? Can I be very blunt when I tell you this? There are too many people who claim to be Christians, claim to love the Savior, claim to trust the Savior, are bartering day after day, bartering spiritual realities for fleshly gratification, or for the things of the world, or for the things of the flesh. Oh, I again plead with you Christians, and I plead with my own heart. how easy it is for us to barter away spiritual realities, a life lived in intimacy of fellowship with God, because we want our flesh to be gratified, or we want something the world has to offer us. So we get tripped up by the world, or we fail because of the lust of the flesh, and we miss out in spiritual realities. We do not enjoy that intimacy of fellowship with Christ, and we miss out in the riches of divine grace which are for us day after day. So I just plead with your heart today, when you think of this, let us not be like Esau, who bartered away his birthright for fleshly gratification. God grant that you and I will have a real hunger for the things of Christ, and be so in love with him, so walk with the Savior, that the very yearning of our hearts will be spiritual realities, to enjoy the life we have in the Savior. As Paul can say, I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, that we might be in that place where Christ will be glorified and magnified in our lives. May this be yours. May this be mine today. And the Lord bless you for his precious name's sake.